Now Paul stops in order to put a foundation and under the lives of these people. And he now states the gospel. And the gospel is in three time zones: the past, the present, and the future. I know that many times I fly to Dallas, Texas, and then back here. And I still, though, have a horse and buggy mental chassis. And I never cease today to wonder at the speed of travel today by jet. I get on the plane there at Love Field in Dallas. I did on a cold, blustery day. A norther was coming in. Mercury was hovering at zero. And in a little more than an hour, I dropped right down into the salubrious climate of Southern California, as well as the smog. But you say, well, how'd you do that in an hour? Well, it was because there are three time zones. That was Central Standard Time, that was Mountain Standard Time, that was Pacific Standard Time. And therefore, it really took, at that time, almost 4 hours, but at least 3 hours. And they're going to get this thing down. I understand this plane that they're beginning now to fly, it goes three times the speed of sound. And that means that you can leave Dallas, Texas, and you'll arrive in Los Angeles 2 hours before you leave Dallas. Now, that's going to be something. You catch up with yourself there. But as wonderful as it is, I think the most wonderful thing in the world is the grace of God. And it's in three time zones. It's in the first time zone that's here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's past. And then we're told here, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's the present time zone of grace. And then you have the third time zone. That's the future, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the three time zones of grace. And we have here grace in three time zones. Now, will you notice that? We have here for the grace of God. Paul says, now just a minute. He says, I want to put down under you Cretans because you need a foundation. I want to put down under you the doctrine of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God here is the way God saves us. And the gospel is not good advice. Years ago, a great preacher in Shreveport, Louisiana, Dr. Dodd, I heard him say, the pulpit, my pulpit is the place for good news. My study is the place for good advice. The gospel's not good advice. It's good news. And it's more than good news. It's the power of God unto salvation. Now, Paul is enjoining Titus to demand of the Cretans that they live lives that adorn the gospel, for it's the power of God, you see. And there's absolutely no excuse for any Christian to live a life of defeat and failure. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The word here is, it shined forth. It's the epiphany. It's when he came 1900 years ago, and the gospel is what he did for us. He died for us. And God, therefore, doesn't save us by love, and he doesn't save us by mercy. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, mercy is the compassion of God that prompted him to send a Savior to man. And God loved man. But you see, God didn't save by love. If one man could be saved by the mercy of God, all mankind would be. It wouldn't be necessary for Christ to die. You could circumvent the cross. But you see, love is the divine motive. But God's not only love, he's righteous, holy, just. And the holy demands of God had to be met. His just claims, his righteous standards must be met. And love may long to save, but the immutable law of justice makes love powerless to do so. And so Christ, by dying for your sins, he met the holy demands of justice, and God can now save you by grace. How wonderful it is we can be saved by the grace of God. When we were guilty, Christ paid the penalty. And grace is not complicated or implicated with human effort. God doesn't ask your cooperation to save you. He doesn't ask for your conduct or your character. God only asks men to believe Him, to trust Him, to accept Christ, to take His way. And God's way is the best way, and it's the only way. And then you have the grace of God teaching us that denying. And God's not trying to reform this world. He's redeeming men who will accept Christ. And the gospel doesn't appeal to Christ's rejected men to do better. I'm going to try and do better. When you say that, I think you're a liar. I didn't say that. John said that. And now if you've rejected Jesus Christ, try and get all you can out of this life, because that's all you're going to get. The government is asking people today to give up cigarettes. They want to educate you. God's not asking you to do these things. God says eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you'll die. You can smoke your cigarettes for tomorrow. You're going to die of cancer, and they'll put you in a flip-top box. May I say to you, God is calling those who are His own, who are redeemed, to live for Him. Teaching, that means child training, educating them to avoid worldly lusts. And then this wonderful thing we've talked about so much before, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. And that is the next happening in the program of God, is His coming to take His church out of this world. And this reveals that Paul taught the deity of Christ, and I believe it means here of the great God. And He's also our Savior. And who is He? He's Jesus Christ, my friend. What did He do? He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us, paid a price for us, that He might redeem us not just out of sin, that's true, but redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people of His own, zealous of good works. Sure, God wants you to live for Him. And sure, God wants good works, but He'll have to redeem you first, friends. Now Paul says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You're a young man. Don't let him despise you because of the life you live. Friends, this is quite wonderful, is it not? Every young preacher ought to study Titus.